cage, not the little hall, at least. And it was a wonderful time. I always enjoyed my time helping with VBS. I want to encourage you, if you have the time next year, to come and volunteer and spend some time helping with some VBS action. And hopefully in a few weeks, some of the VBS volunteers will meet and we're going to just discuss things and maybe think through if there's anything that we would like to change or how we can possibly improve VBS. But it was a great time. I think that we had around 30 kids. So thanks, God. All right, well, let's pray and we're going to get into this morning's message. Father, thank you for giving us time to gather, and I thank you for giving us your word. And help us, Lord, to give our attention to your word and help us to nourish our soul. Help us to truly minister to us in ways that only your word can. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be glorified in the preaching and proclaiming of your word, but also be glorified in the receiving of your word, that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word, and that we would proclaim your word in a way that is true, in a way that holds integrity. And so guard me, Lord, guard my speech, that I would speak in ways that are edifying and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Usually, I had passed off this Sunday's sermon to Owen because I'm volunteering and in BBS, and he's not, and so I passed the pulpit to him. But this year, Owen and Paul, that team, and helped with the middle group, I forget what it is. I forget what the name of that group was, but if they were in here, they were telling me, but they're all lost right now. So anyways, you have me, and yes, well, I've been in UBS all week, so we didn't have a UBS message. We didn't have a, I mean, I used to, pretty worried about that. We'll see how our guests are happy about that. We'll see if we can get them to come back. They told me that they were watching on TV and they're like, I'm in trouble. I have a movie that I don't know about. I'm not. But this past week has been a rollout of a week with UBS. And it's always fun, but you take a lot out of you when you're trying to put a lot of God's word into the hearts of children. And I did have fun, even though on Friday night, like I mentioned, I felt we had more fun than the rest of the kids. Some of the voice behind me told me that I'm too old to have fun, but challenge accepted. Anyways, I had a lot of fun, and VBS this year was on Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, we try to help the children understand what David is saying there, but also help them to really arm themselves with some apologetic truths. Consider these truths that came out here this week. And help them to learn that God is not just sitting back, right? We are not deists. We do not believe that God created the world and just is sitting back and he's not engaging with the world, right? Like someone that's designing a watch and just gears it up and then lets it go, right? God interacts with man. God engages with man, and we are thankful for it. Yes, he sent his son, right? He sent his son. Another truth is that the Bible is trustworthy. Right, so we're trying to get our children to not only learn that, but also to accept that. We've spoken about why we have hard times. We're talking to them about the difference between those that live in good luck and the level you're a good gift giver. See that? They're going to give us that. And then we also help them to remember or learn the purpose of the rainbow. What does the rainbow remind us of? And then on top of that, each day, give us another truth of who God is. And so we started with telling them that God is a shepherd, and then spoke to them about God being a leader, God being a comforter, God being a provider, and God being a promise keeper. And so all of these truths are not only good for the children, they're great for the children, but they're also great for us. Psalm 23 is not a psalm for the kids. Psalm 23 is a psalm for all of us. And it is really a psalm for all of us. All of God's word is for all of us. But there's something unique about Psalm 23 because it seems like we all love Psalm 23. If you don't like Psalm 23, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But it is because Psalm 23 covers so many topics and helps us to be blessed by it in a multitude of ways. It is medicine for our soul, but it is not the kind of medicine that only serves one purpose or one symptom. Psalm 23 is designed a way to treat a list of symptoms that our soul can experience. And unlike man's medicine, which is far less potent and has an expiration date on it, it does. Go through your medicine cabinet and you'll be surprised that you're visiting things that you needed to stop eating 4 years ago. But man's medicine has an expiration date and God's word does not. It's good for our soul right now and it'll be good for our soul forever. And so this morning we're going to consider the heart of Psalm 23. Not Psalm 23 in its entirety, but its heart. Verse 4, right in the middle. Psalm 23, verse 4 reads, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And this verse being right there in the heart of the psalm, right there in the center of the psalm, is surrounded by great biblical truth. Let's read this psalm, let's go through it. Verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so we see the sufficiency of the shepherd. Verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters." And so we see the guidance of the shepherd. And verse 3, "He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so we see the redemption of the shepherd. And if we skip down to verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." And we see the exalting of the shepherd. And in verse 6, David declares, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so we see the confidence given by the shepherd. But this morning we're going to zero in on verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so in verse 4, we see the comfort given by the shepherd. There's more concerning this title, the comforting presence of Christ. The comforting presence of Christ. And just as sheep were comforted by their shepherd, so we are comforted by Christ's presence in our life. Like sheep, we can worry, we can be fearful, we can be tempted to flee. But Christ's Spirit in us pacifies our soul and encourages us to keep on going. even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not if I walk in that valley, not when I walk in the valley, but even though I walk, it is a present verb. He's speaking about walking. He's speaking about a current environment. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is a statement from the valley. And that's important. Because we want somebody that's been there that can tell us. We don't want somebody to tell us about this dangerous place and what we should do there, or how we should think about it, because they read a book. Because they heard from somebody. David's saying that he is there. Even though I walk through the valley, I need to consider this. This is not only someone that is walking in the valley, but this is somebody whose good shepherd walked them into that valley. And we might not be ready to accept that. We might not be ready to accept that God allows us to face sometimes extremely difficult things. We want to just say God is responsible for all the good and nice, comfortable things and act like he's not sovereign over everything. He's not fully in control of the valleys and the paths that we walk. You see, David is not drifting from the Lord. He speaks about this shepherd and how the shepherd guides him, and takes him to all these nice places that are good for him. And then all of a sudden, in verse 4, he doesn't say, "And then I departed from the shepherd, and I began to walk through the valley." The valley is mapped out in the shepherd's plan. We have to be willing to accept that this good shepherd can lead us in difficult places, hard places, scary places, but he shepherds us through those places. David calls it the valley of the shadow of death. This is the deepest, darkest place imaginable. It's a physically dark place. And this is a place that's likened in the book of Job to death. So in Job chapter 10, verses 21 through 22, it's described like this. Death is described like this. To the land of darkness and deep shadow, the land of utter gloom and darkness itself, of deep shadow without order, and which shines as the darkness. How is the darkness shining? As darkness. It's as dark as dark. What does it shine? When I saw this passage from my GPS students, I asked, who here is scared of the dark? I want to ask for a raise of hands right now. I will allow you to kind of keep that a secret. But for my class, almost every hand went up, volunteer included. And then most really scared of the dark. His, oh, it's just dark. And they were scared of all of the what-ifs that the dark brings, or that darkness brings. Darkness will play games with you. Darkness will test where your trust is. Darkness will test what you believe. It will scare you here and tell you why they were scared of the dark. Some of the stories that they told me would be scary for any brave adult. The stories of guns and stories of violence, terrible stories of the violence. And it's, in one sense, kind of silly not for them to say that, and it's understandable. But it's kind of silly what our mind will do. We can go and check all of them, and go and check all the doors, and we will make sure everything is open up and up. And then we turn off the light and we say, you know what? Or we know that there is no monster in the room. But as soon as you turn off the light, there is a because if we lead our mind to just do whatever it wants, to invent and imagine all sorts of evil, that is a scary place to be. And that is why David goes on and tells us, even though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Fear no evil. The deepest, darkest place that blocks out all of the light, as if that's not bad enough, David adds the presence of evil. Evil things, evil events, evil people, evil actions. And David knew a thing or two about evil surrounding him. In our class, we looked at three different events. We looked at 1 Samuel 19, 9 through 10, where the king Saul is trying to transcend David to the wall of the Spirit. We looked at the next two verses, 1 Samuel 19, 11 through 12, where Saul's men were sent after David to David's house, and David's wife had to help him sneak out a window. And we also looked at 1 Samuel 23, verses 24 through 28, when Saul and his men were pursuing David over through the wilderness of Moab. They went on one side of the rock where they saw men were on the other side. They were closing in on David. And then providentially, God saved David through a messenger that would come and David pulls Saul's troops back. And so he left David there. And that rock was renamed the Rock of Escape. Or the rock that was a hiding place. And that's where God provided an escape for David. When David could have never imagined that escape happening. But God is the one that provided it. And David knows that God provides these things for him. David knows it's not just some coincidence. David knows it's not because of him. David knows that it's God. David knows fearful and dangerous times, difficult times, painful times, times that are so bad that he can't see past the situation. But David, equally, if not better, knows his God and knows that God is with him and knows that his God is with him, God will act. Because he's not just a God that's there, like on a sticker or something like that. He's really with him. He's there, personally there, with David. That's why David gives a reason. I fear no evil, for you are with me. That is the main reason why, in the depths of darkness and in the presence of evil, that David's soul does not shrink back. Because he knows he's not alone, that God's with him. Even in fearful situations, he does not fear. In Psalm 16, David wrote this, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 9. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is my rock. shaken. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. David's confidence comes from the Lord. That means that David's confidence is God's gift. God gives us confidence. We don't want man's confidence. We want God's confidence. We want confidence that comes from God. David's confidence is not only from the Lord, but it's also in the Lord. It comes from the Lord and it's in the Lord. And that means that he trusts that God is greater than the threat that is opposing him. He trusts not only that God is there, but that God being there means that God will do something. You've probably seen so many examples of why someone would say, don't just watch, do something about it. You will never, ever, ever in your life have to tell about that. God asks. And he's already doing something about it. About what? I don't know. He's a God that does not sleep nor slumber. He is always doing what is best. Always doing what is best. David names two objects that are essential to his shepherd. And then that's important. Before we talk about these objects, know this, David is emphasizing that they're from his shepherd. He doesn't say your rod and staff. He can say your rod and staff and accompany, and that would communicate just fine. But his point is not just that the shepherd's rod and staff comfort. It's that they're the shepherd's rod and staff. That's why it's your rod and your staff. He's emphasizing the fact that they're from God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod and staff are the central tools for the protection and guidance of his sheep. The shepherd is known for keeping and guarding and protecting his sheep through dark and dangerous places and all matters of evil. But the shepherd is also known for guiding his sheep, keeping them from walking in the wrong direction, and helping them by leading them with his staff in the right direction, a direction that is ultimately good for them. And with this kind of care, the sheep are comforted. But I want to challenge us a little bit this morning with this word comfort. You see, David tells us, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And David is not using the word comfort like a nice, comfortable couch. David is not speaking about the Lord putting a pillow under his head. That is not their comfort that a rod and a staff bring. It's important for us to know that this comfort is not speaking about God sympathizing with us. This is actually a Hebrew word for encourage. Especially to encourage with words. Turn me to the book of Genesis and the one you turn to are your Exodus. Genesis chapter 50. And here at the end of chapter 50, in verse 21, we have Joseph speaking his children. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21 helps us to understand how we should use this word comfort. Verse 21, so therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindness to them. It has to do with the words that he's expressing. The words that he's expressing. The rod and the staff comfort the sheep because they're instruments that remind the sheep of the word of God and the statements and the promises that God has made. The comfort is not a tuck you into bed and make sure you're nice and comfortable. It's a specific type of comfort. It is an encouragement to help the sheep continue to go. The sheep is not tucked away and put away for the night. If you look at verse 5, the sheep is in a presence of abundance. He's still in a place that there is a threat. But he, the shepherd, has this rod and has this staff, has an instrument of protecting the sheep, an instrument of guiding the sheep, and the word of God does just that. And it comforts us and encourages us in light of whatever situation that we're in. Here, they encourage David to not fear any evil, but rather trust and be confident in a shepherd. And beloved, I want you to know this. We can have the same comfort and confidence that David has in his shepherd. Even in the midst of our dark valleys, there is a shepherd that walks us through those valleys. And his promise to his sheep is still the same. Just as he promised David that he will be there, so he's promised us that he will be with us. David's shepherd is none other than Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. And Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission, Matthew 28. And he told them to go. He told them to go and make disciples. But before that, he told them that they're going to be in this world that hated them and would want to kill them and persecute them, just like he did their master. So how does Jesus tell them to go into the world and still comfort them, still encourage them? In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus tells his disciples, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that is comforting. That is encouraging. Later on, when the gospel is advancing, and we see that in the book of Acts, the Lord will also encourage Paul. In Acts 18, verses 9 to 10, the Lord Jesus comes to Paul while Paul is in ministry, planting churches, going on missions. In verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul in a night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in the city. The Lord encourages and comforts Paul by telling Paul, not just, all right, let's just get on the couch, Paul, OK? a nice and comfortable Paul. You see, Jesus nor Paul support this comfortable couch Christianity. The Christians are just looking to just stay in their nice, comfortable Christian bubble and not to interact with the people that are going to challenge them on their beliefs, not to interact with people that aren't so nice and friendly as what we receive here when we're just catching around, drinking our coffee at our home. The Lord told Paul, keep going. Keep going, Paul. Let me tell us, take the couch to the very church. Take back. Let the other really zealous Christians do it. That's a comfort to us. It's an encouragement to us. What? They just go on to a difficult world? No, I don't know that. You can't be away from the world. You don't have to be here with the world for a purpose. But not without Him, not without His Spirit. The Gospel of John. Have you ever read through John's Gospel? That was a joke. That was not a funny joke. In John chapter 14, well, let me see what Jesus tells the disciples. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Another helper. Or another comforter. Like Jesus. That He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. And then later on in verse 26, Jesus goes on and tells them, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you a pillow and sweet tea. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Then we go. So like David, we also have a shepherd that comforts us with His presence, but it's not a get-on-the-couch comfort. It's a continue to walk, continue to go, encouragement. And so, beloved, this is our shepherd and our Savior. It's not just David's shepherd. It's not just Paul's Savior. So we can join with David, and we can join with Paul, and we can take confidence in Christ and receive comfort and encouragement from the presence of Christ. And because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have difficult situations, we're not called to just sit and sulk and not do anything about it, but beloved, because we have the shepherd, and because we have the Spirit, keep walking. Keep going. Keep trusting Him, Lord. Keep rejoicing in Him. Because Christ is our shepherd. And He will be with us. That's His promise. And that's what we can trust. And that's what we can praise Him for. Amen. Father, thank You for giving us time, Your word. Thank You for loving us so much and sending us Your Son. And thank You for giving us this presence that we have of Christ with the Spirit in us. Help us to live according to the Spirit and fill us with His Spirit. That we would live in a way that honors You and glorifies the Son. Help us to rejoice. Help us be thankful. And help us, Lord, to not seek the easy way out. Help us not seek the easy path, but
strengthen us and give us the faith that we need to continue to walk, even if our valley is dark, even if our valley is dangerous. Help us, Lord, to place our confidence and our trust in Christ, the Good Shepherd, who will walk with us.